Hi, it is I. Another week is pretty much complete. Nothing like completely awful happened this week that kind of ruined anything. It was kind of just a normal week of a lot of ups and downs. I did a podcast about Chester Bennington on Tuesday. I was grateful that that day wasn't as hard as it usually has been the last couple years for me, and I explained in that podcast why I think that is, besides just me seeing a therapist. Like, this time last year, I wasn't seeing a therapist, and the year before that, I was a mess, but at least last year, this time, I hadn't seen a therapist in, like, 6 months by this point, so I have a much better chance of, being more emotionally stable if I see a therapist, so that's always a plus. Therapy this week, we started doing, like, trauma work. Hold on a second. What are you doing? Alright, my cat was just being weird. We started trauma work with EMDR. Like, doing the kind of the heavy-duty trauma work again, which I haven't done since I left Rogers, my treatment program, since, like, December of 2019. And it's been a while. I feel like I'm ready for it. Like, I've been seeing this therapist for about like 5 months now. I started seeing her in February sometime. And we've, like, gotten to know each other and all that during that time and figured out the kind of things I want to work on. But it's still hard to... It's not easy. Like, I know that should be obvious, but just for anyone who's never tried EMDR before, haven't done it a whole lot, even though, like, I did EMDR for a couple months before I went to my treatment program and then did prolonged exposure therapy work when I was there. And even though I did all of that, so that was probably, like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 months of work. Even though I did all that before, it doesn't mean that now it's somehow easier for my brain or me to handle. We figured out during the session that I have a block that's, like, actually related to that, which is, what am I trying to say? I'm scared of what will happen if I, like, bring in new memories in and they're upsetting, if I'll be able to handle it. Like, I'm scared of what will happen when I remember those things again and my reaction to it. Because, like I just said, like, 2019, I've said a million times, in 2019, I was just, a super depressed, suicidal, like, dying with my complex PTSD mess. Like, when I went to do EMDR and then went to Rogers, I was, like, I just wanted them to tell me what to do. Like, that's what I kept thinking and what I told them a couple times. Like, I didn't even care what it was. I was willing to do anything to feel better because I was so horribly depressed. And I had been for, like, a really long time by that point. But when you're, like, super suicidal like that, where, like, just being awake every day is, like, a battle in and of itself, it's so hard. And I was so tired of living like that. and I didn't want to anymore. So, like, doing, like, the EMDR work and then doing, like, the work, the prolonged exposure work that we did, like, I was just, like, succumbing to the process in a way. Or not in a way. That's basically what it was. Was I was, like, it was just, like, no memory can make me feel worse than I feel right now because I feel so awful. Like, there is nowhere lower for me to go than where I was at that moment. So I, like, wasn't as scared or anything to re-remember those things, and bring those things up because I was like, well, I already feel like this, so I might as well just, like, do this and then hope that that will help me feel better, which, I mean, it did. But, like, I wasn't afraid of, like, right now I'm afraid of that happening, but, like, becoming super depressed again. But, like, back then I didn't have that fear because I already was only sleeping, like, 4 to 5 hours a night. Like, I already had, like, my insomnia has always been around since I was, like, young. Like, I can remember not being able to sleep at night when I was, like, 6. But, like, the 2 years, like, 2018 and 2019, it was ridiculous. Like, I slept for, like, I think the most I ever slept when I would be, like, really tired would be, like, 6 hours. But that was, like, a miracle. And even then, when I slept that long, I would always wake up in the middle of the night. When my sleeping medication was working, I would wake up in the middle of the night and just know that I had, like, a scary dream. And, like, one of my cats would always be, like, right by my head. And then, but then I would just, like, go back to sleep. And I never would remember what the dreams were. Before I had sleeping medication, I would wake up, like, really scared. And it would take forever for me to fall back to sleep. Like, sometimes I just wouldn't, and I would just stay up. So, like, that was going on, and I was really depressed and, like, having panic attacks a lot and barely leaving the house. I still had, like, a couple friends here that I talked to, and I had, like, the one at the time, his name was Carrie, that she would come and pick me up, and we just kind of get, like, run errands together, basically, and, yeah. So that was that, and that's where I was at the time. But, like, everything was so awful, it was just like, it doesn't matter. I didn't care, but now I care. Like, that's the thing that's hard for me right now, is that, like, it's been like a year and a half since I left that program. It's been in about like a month or so, it'll be basically like, well, actually, I remember the date. It was September 18th in 2019 when I went into that program. So in about 2 months, it will be 2 years since I entered in. And in that 2 years, like, there's been a lot of hard shit that's happened. Obviously, last year was a disaster for everybody. But for my own personal stuff, there's a lot of stuff that happened around this time last year that was really challenging. But I was able to get through all of that. And I don't think that there's no way that myself in 2018 and 2019 would have been able to handle anything that happened last year, just me personally, in 2020. No way. Absolutely not. I couldn't handle anything. That wouldn't have worked. So, like, I've gotten through a lot of this stuff, and I've gotten, it's never easy for me to fall asleep at night, but I still sleep way better than I used to. I never wake up in the middle of the night anymore having a nightmare or something like that. That, like, never happens anymore. I hardly ever have panic attacks anymore. Like, a couple months ago, I basically stopped using the oven in my apartment because every time I use it, like, I have a studio, so I think it's too small. Because every time I use my oven, the smoke detector starts going off, or, like, the smoke alarm, whatever you want to call it. And loud noises like that, especially when I don't know when it's about to happen, are big triggers for me. And so the last time I had, like, a panic attack of sorts was when the last time I used like my oven, which was a couple months, it was a while ago. It was probably like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. I was still able to control it much more than I would before. Like, I was able to sit on the couch and take some, like, deep breaths and calm myself down took, like, 15 minutes, but I was still able to do that. Like, before, I wouldn't have been able to stop it. But my point is that, like, I don't really have nightmares anymore that I remember. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. I sleep through the night. Even if it takes a while for me to fall asleep, I always sleep through the night. I don't have panic attacks anymore. I don't have, like, used to have, like, almost flashbacks. Like, when I would get really scared, I would, like, run and hide in my closet. And I would feel like I was not safe. Like, even though rationally I knew that nobody else was in my apartment, that it was just me and my cats, I felt like if I opened up my closet that, like, my dad or somebody would be on the outside of it and they're waiting for me to come out so they could hurt me. Like, yeah. I don't do anything like that anymore. And so I'm afraid that if some memory comes back, that will happen again, that I'll start not being able to sleep again, that I'll start having panic attacks more, that, like, the depression will get harder, like, but it's like a conundrum, because the only way for me to succeed, or I don't like the, sorry, that's not the right word, because it's not like a question of succeeding or failing. It's more of a question of, it's more a thing of, I know that the things that are bothering me and, like, the next step kind of in this whole process is for me to gain back, like, some of the memories of why I feel certain ways. So I know I have to do it, but I'm just, like, really afraid of what will come up and how I will handle it. So, yeah, my therapist and I figured that out in therapy this week. Because she was having, because one of the things that's weird is that, like, I have this weird, like, trigger of the kitchen and the bathroom, and I don't know why those exist. I have no idea. Like, I've talked about this before, but yeah, like, I don't like having, I never have the lights on in the bathroom. Like, the only time the lights on are on in my bathroom is if, like, the couple times my landlord came over and, like, looked at, like, my sink or whatever, that he would turn them on. That was the only time. Other than that, they're never on, and it's this, and, like, the kitchen, like, I've talked a lot about how I, like, cannot do dishes, and it just, like, and, like, sometimes when I'm in my kitchen, I'll, like, look at the sink, and even though it's, like, pretty much empty all the time, I'll just sit there and look at it and feel, like, that frozen feeling I get, and so it's, like, I don't know why it's so impossible for me to, like, do dishes or, like, clean in the kitchen, or in why it's so hard for me to be in a bathroom with the lights on where I can see anything, really. Like, I clean my bathroom, but I clean it with the lights still off. And yeah, that is an experience, but it's the only way that I can clean it. And it's so, she was trying to have me focus on that, like, that feeling that I get when, like, when the lights are on in the bathroom, or that feeling I feel when I'm, like, looking at the sink in the kitchen, to try to figure out where that is originating from. And since I have no idea, and I kept trying to focus on it, and I would, like, the thing with EMDR that's so weird is that you, like, she has, like, this display of, like, lights that just go back and forth, almost like you're watching a horizon, like a straight line. and the lights are different colors, and they just go back and forth, back and forth. And I follow those with my eyes, and then she gives me these things that I hold in my hands that, like, vibrate, like, every couple seconds. Those, like, keep me in the here and now so I don't get too lost in, like, the past and have, like, a flashback, essentially. But, like, those two things together, that's why I have more than one thing, just to make sure that I don't, like, dissociate completely and get lost in that time, which is good, because I don't want to do that. That's, like, what me hiding in the closet was me dissociating and getting so stuck in a memory, I feel like it was happening again. Yeah, so we were doing that, and every time I would focus on that memory and that feeling that I have in those places, I would focus on it, but, like, my brain, like, kept, like, running away from it. Like, I would try to focus on it and see what was behind it, but, like, it would, all of a sudden my brain would start, like, thinking about other things that had nothing to do with what we were working on, or jumping around to, like, other memories that I have that aren't really related, or, like, it just, it was, I had to, like, make an effort to try to focus on it, much more than I usually would have to. And it was because I'm afraid of what will happen. And, I know I sound like a broken record now talking about missing, like, having friends or a support system, but this is, like, this is what I miss. Like, when I had a support system, even though the people that were my friends then weren't the best, like, didn't treat me the best all the time, they still were people that were here, like, physically here. Like, there are friends that I have that I talk to online that live around the country, but they don't live here where I live. That's, like, the big difference. And I know that might sound strange to differentiate it like that, but it is a big thing, because, like, the friend Carrie that I had when we were still friends, when she would come and pick me up and we would, like, drive around doing, just running errands, going to, like, the Humane Society to pet cats and pet dogs and like, feel happy for a while and stuff on Saturdays, that was, like, the only time that a lot of the time during that time I would get out of the house. And it also, like, and since we were driving around running errands and, like, doing things that you're supposed to be doing as an adult, it, like, gave me, like, an opportunity to, like, get the things done that I needed to get done. Like, because she was, like, coming over and we were running errands and she needed to get certain things done, it, like, gave me a really good option that, like, oh, like, if I need new clothes, we could go to, like, Walmart or Target or, like, thrift shops, like Goodwill and another one that we have around here whose name I can't remember right now, and get and buy, like, some new clothes. And or, like, if I needed to go food, we would go to the grocery store and go food shopping, and I would get, like, all the things that I would need in one place. Or I could, like, when we were at the grocery store, I could stop at one of the banks that they had in the grocery store and get a whole thing of quarters so that I could have it. I would have that in my apartment so that I wouldn't have to worry about getting quarters for laundry for the next, like, couple months. Like, usually a $10 pack of quarters lasts me, like 2 to 3 months. And then I wouldn't have to worry about having to go out and get those before doing laundry. And just things like that. And I don't have that now, because I'm not friends with those people anymore. I don't really have that. Like, my sister comes around and on Sunday this week, this coming up Sunday, my sister said she would take me to Trader Joe's again, because we haven't been there in about a month. And I haven't seen my sister in about a month. And, like, that happens, because, you know, I'm not doing anything. my, like, never leave my apartment, but she has, you know, a boyfriend who has brothers who live around here and has family that, like, sees each other and gets together, and she probably sees, and I know that she probably sees my mom and my uncle in Green Bay and stuff every once in a while too. So yeah, like there's a bunch, every once in a while there's like weekends for like, where like we'll see each other like once a month because there's just, she has other stuff going on. That's just how it is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, she does help me by like offering to pick me up and take me to Trader Joe's and buy Starbucks for me whenever I want to go, like, once a month. And whenever we do that, she always asks me, like, do you need to go anywhere else to get anything else done? And we usually end up going to, like, a pet store, or sometimes we end up going to, like, a thrift shop or whatever, or something like that to get clothes or whatever. But, yeah. So, like, she does that. That's still, like, meaningful. I'm not trying to take that away. But it's different than, like, friends. Like, the friends that I had, like, Carrie and I, we used to go out to eat. We used to meet up at a restaurant every Friday after we got done with work. And it was just, like, an opportunity to, like, get out of the house, talk to another human being. And usually when we would do that, we would, like, make plans to, like, hang out again, like, the next day if we were going to do errands and all that kind of stuff. We usually did that, like, every weekend or at least every other weekend. But we at least every Friday would have dinner for a couple hours and talk about, like, what was going on that week and how work was and all that kind of stuff that people do. And it really helped, like, break up my day then. And that was when I was, like, really super depressed when we would do stuff like that. And it helped me, like, get out of the house and see another person and talk about stuff and feel, like, a connection to the world in a positive way when I didn't really feel one, which was really nice. And I don't have that anymore. So, like, part of me is, like, not part of me, I am worried that, like, I'll, like, gain back some of these memories that I don't remember right now. And they'll be really hard for me to handle. And I don't have a friend that will just randomly show up on a Saturday who will be willing to, like, you know, drive around and, like, take me to the grocery store and make and, like, give me the opportunity to, like, get laundry money when I need it or, like, whatever. Even just, like, the knowledge of knowing, like, just knowing that I would have to go out to dinner with her on Fridays, or that she would come and see me on Saturdays, meant that, like, I knew that on those days I would have to have some sort of clothes to wear, like, cleaner clothes to wear, and it would force me to, like, do laundry and stuff. And, like, when I was super depressed, like I was then, that was really hard for me to do. Like, everything was hard back then. And, like, she used to come in and, like, say hi to my cats whenever she would come pick me up. So I would, like, try to keep my apartment as clean as I could before she would come by, because I didn't want her to come in and see everything look like disgusting. And so part of me is just worried that, like, I won't be able to handle all of that and, like, that sort of feeling again. With how I am now. Like, I already never leave my apartment because agoraphobia and all that kind of stuff. And more the fact, too, is that I just don't have the opportunity to leave. Like, I really miss having a car. And, like, financially, I know that I could never afford a car payment plus car insurance and, like, registration to pay every year, plus, like, gas or whatever. Like, gas would be okay, but the other things, I know there's absolutely no way in hell I could ever afford to pay any of that. Absolutely not. But I really miss having a car that I could, like, just having the option that if I wanted to, like, go to the store. I could just get in my car and go there and not have to order stuff offline. And, or just get in my car. I used to, like, just get in my car and, like, listen to music and just kind of drive around and find stuff to do. If I went to, like, the kind of Goodwill-type places that we have here and see if they have, like, some clothes that fit me that I could wear that are new clothes, I would do that. I could, like, leave the house and, like, drive to and, like, stop at a bank to get quarters, like, a pack of thing of quarters for laundry on my own. It's just, I can't go anywhere or do anything on my own now that I don't have a car. And yeah, it just makes everything harder. And so I already don't leave the house ever because I don't like being outside, and I don't have a way really to leave and go anywhere or do anything even if I wanted to. And I don't have many friends here. I just have my sister, and that's pretty much it. But that just makes it, like, I guess it's like the feeling of, I know I'm already isolated. Most days I don't leave my apartment building, or I only leave it to take out the garbage and then come back inside. And it's been like that for, like, pretty much this entire year. The only time that I really leave my apartment for a long amount of time is to go to therapy every week now. And so I know those things about me, and so I worry that if I get things back and I start having nightmares again, or I start having panic attacks again, that is going to be way too easy for me to, like, fall back into feeling really depressed or suicidal again. And I really don't want to feel like that ever again. Like I said, in the last half hour, I've been, like, rambling about this. There isn't really a choice for me at this point either. Like, I have to do this. I know that I have to do this. But my therapist and I are going to have to work probably with some EMDR tactics to help, so she can help convince me that whatever comes up, that I'll be able to, like, no matter what it is, that I'll be able to handle it. Because, like, I know that this is a thing that people do who have a complex PTSD. Like, we think that we can't handle things that we can. Like, we did so many different kind of activities or whatever about, like, group things in, like, art class and in our own, like, group therapy thing when I was at my program, about how we tend to say, like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, like, right away. But then we, like, prove to ourselves that we could do it. So I know that we do that, like, just as a group, people who have complex PTSD or have a lot of trauma, we tend to, like, be negative about ourselves and think that we can't do things, and then surprise ourselves with what we're able to accomplish. And, like, I know that I've been through so much stuff already, but I think that's, like, I always have this, like, nagging worry that, like, what if something happens and that's somehow, like, the tipping point for me where I just can't take it anymore, because I've been through all this other stuff already. Like, what is going to be the point where I just, like, lose it again? And I don't want to believe that that'll happen, because I'm, like, a very competitive, like, person with myself. Like, every time I've ever thought about giving up, I get, like, this, like, almost, like, defiance of, like, surviving through spite, basically, and being, like, no, they're not going to be the ones that end me. I'm going to, like, tell them to fuck off and, like, keep fighting. But, like, part of me is just scared that something could come up and I wouldn't be able to, and it would be harder for me to do it since I don't have anybody else right now, in the way that I used to 2 years ago. But I know that I have to do it, and, like, I want to do it at the same time that I don't. Like, I do want to do it. Like, I want to know these memories. Like, it's so fucking annoying that I don't know any of these like, the fact that I don't know why I'm so scared of, like, the bathroom and the kitchen. Like, I want to know why. Like, I want to, even if it, like, knowing why doesn't solve, like, those triggers or anything like that, clearly, but knowing why at least is, that's always nice, because I don't think I have to explain that. It just is. It's nice to know, like, where those things originate from. It makes it a lot more, it makes it a lot easier to understand yourself. If you know, like, why you do something, like, when I started doing this trauma work and stuff, just learning, like, why I don't like, why I don't like certain foods, or, like, why I'm a picky eater, and, or, like, why I just do certain things or act a certain way, that could be explained by learning more about my trauma and learning that people who have similar traumas have the same sort of thing was really nice, because I was always like, why am I so fucking weird? But when you find out about that stuff, it gives you a reason, and it's a very logical thing when it's explained to you that way, and then you're like, oh, okay, that's why I do that. It's not just because I'm the weirdest person on earth. There's, like, an explanation for it. Yeah, so I know that I need to do it, but I'm just, I don't want to feel like I used to anymore. It's been nice to be able to sleep through the night and all that again. And like I said, part of it is just because it is, I struggle still with, like, some of the executive functioning things. Like, you know, I don't have anything in my kitchen that I have to wash, and like, sometimes it'll take me a couple days to, like, change out my garbage, just, like, take out the garbage, or sometimes I won't take a shower for a couple days, or it's still really hard for me to, like, get, it seems like such a small task, but, like, getting quarters for laundry is, like, this whole, like, thing for me. Like, I found a couple, like, dollars, like, in, like, actual dollars that I had in one of my pair of pants. I honestly don't know why I had that in there or how long they were in there. But so I had $2, and I had, like, 50 cents of the, from, like, my last, like, pack that I got from the bank of quarters. And so, like, this, the last time I did laundry, I only washed, like, my underwear in, like, one shirt, because I had $1.50, and in my apartment building, it's $1 for each thing. So it's $1 for the washer and $1 for the dryer. And I was like, well, I only really need $1 to be able to do the washer. I can just hang, like, clothes up. Like, this is the kind of thing, stuff that I kind of learned to do when things were really bad in, like, 2019. Like, sometimes the apartment building that I lived in at the time, like, the washer and the washers would break. Like, one of the washers would break every couple months, and you wouldn't know that it was, like, broken until you put your clothes in, and then you come back and they'd be, like, soaking wet. But there was a couple times, so then when I would try to dry them, it would take, like, 50 million years for them to dry, and I would run out of money and just end up having to hang them up in my apartment when I brought them back up. But there was a couple times then that the same sort of thing happened, where I didn't have enough to do, like, the washer and the dryer, and I didn't want to, like, have to go out and, like, leave the house to try to get, like, change, because I don't ever have cash anymore. So it was like, I didn't want to go through the whole hassle of trying to get cash and then trying to go somewhere to get quarters so that I could do my laundry. I would just, like, wash what I had in the washer and then just bring it back up and, like, and hang it up in my closet on hangers and stuff, and just dry it that way without, like, using an actual dryer. So, like, the last time that I did laundry, which was, like, I think it was about a week ago, I just washed, like, my underwear, basically, is what I really needed, and, like, I think, like, one pair of pants or something like that, like, one of my pajama pants, and that was it. I buying, like, those six-pack of, like, men's, like, shirts from, like, Walmart, because they're only, like, $10-$15, and all the shirts are really comfy, and they're always big and baggy, which is the kind of shirts that I like to wear. I don't like wearing anything that is form-fitting in any way. It just makes, and especially since I wear them as basically, like, pajamas all the time, I need something that's, like, baggy and comfortable like that when I'm sleeping. So I did that last week, and I'm gonna buy another one of those this week. And I just wear those during the week because, I don't know, it's just getting money, just getting quarters for laundry is, like, one of those things that's a big barrier for me because there's so many steps to it. Like, I have, like, as it stands right now, I could, like, walk to the gas station, go to, like, their ATM, take out cash, and then buy something from the gas station and ask the gas station guy if he could give me, like, $2 in quarters. Like, that's usually what I've done the last couple months since I ran out of, like, my 10-pack of, from my $10 pack of quarters from the bank. But that only lasts, like, one time, because each time I do a load of laundry, it costs $2. So, like, every single time I have to do it, it ends up in this, like, cycle where then I have to go and do that again. And, like, the easiest thing for me would be if I was able to get to a bank and just get, like, a $10, another, like, $10 pack of quarters from a bank. Then my life would be much simpler. But I can't really get to one because I don't have a car. Taking the bus there isn't really, that doesn't work, like, time-wise. Like, if I take the bus there, it's like 2 hours before the bus would come back and be able to take me back home. It doesn't make any sense to, like, go to a bank to get a roll of quarters and then have to, like, end up paying money to take a, like, $10 to take a lift back home, because that would be what I would have to do. And then there's the other thing that I read somewhere, that if you're agoraphobic, that, like, taking public transportation, like buses and stuff, can be difficult, and that makes sense, because I've always, like, resisted doing that, taking a bus, even though it's, like, there for me to use. But most of it is just, like, the time thing. Like, if a bus showed up within, like, two, and I didn't have to sit there and wait for one for 2 hours, I would force myself to do it. But that is, like, way too long to wait. I would be at the bank for, like, 3 minutes and then be having to wait for an additional, like, hour and 55 minutes or something in order to come back home, or pay, like, $10 to take, like, a lift back home. Like, that's just not, that doesn't make sense to, like, spend that amount of money or that time and that money trying to get to a bank just to get freaking quarters. I feel like this is, like, the reality of, like, when you have complex PTSD and you're an adult and you're trying to, like, function. It's very much like, I don't want to say a battle, but it's kind of like there are some things that are easier and some things that are harder. Like, I keep my apartment way better organized now than I ever did before. Like, the last apartment that I lived in, this apartment is much cleaner, and everything is just, like, put away. Like, I don't have anything just, like, sitting on the floor. Like, the thing that I used to do that I would do when I would get like at basically every place I lived in, but especially when I lived by the last place when I lived by myself, is that I would like, I would, you know, I would like order out food or like just have like plastic or whatever from like sodas or whatever, and I would just end up just like leaving them on the floor, and then there would eventually be a big pile of garbage, and I would eventually like get a garbage bag and throw them all away, but it would sit there for a while before I would do that. I don't do that anymore, like at all. Like ever since I moved out of my last place, like by the time I moved out of my last place, I wasn't doing that for like a few months, but like for, I did that for a lot of the time that I lived there, and I don't do that anymore at all. Like whenever I'm done eating food, I always just get up and throw it away. Like the idea of putting it on the floor, like grosses me out. Like it makes me feel gross. So I don't do it anymore. Like there's nothing wrong with you if you do that. Everyone is kind of at like, there's different places. It's just, like I said, like doing, like leaving the house to find quarters to get laundry is one of the things that is a huge barrier for me still. Like every time I do laundry, I always end up putting it out off until like I literally cannot handle having the clothes that I have on my body anymore, and then force myself to do it. But when it comes to like keeping my floor clean and in that way and my apartment organized, that is something that I do now. Like I'm able to like change my cat litter like every day and immediately take it outside and throw it away. I always like sweep the floor in the bathroom whenever I'm done changing the litter, like every day or every other day. I like sweep in the kitchen like once every like couple weeks or so, when that used to be something that I wouldn't really do. I usually vacuum like once a week, and that wasn't something that I did. I'm able to like not keep things on the floor, and like with garbage and stuff like that, like I just throw it away as soon as I'm done with it. And even if it takes me a day or two before I can actually like, you know, change the garbage bag out and throw it away and take it outside, I still do that much easier than I used to. But there's other like, you know, the thing with like laundry or being able to do dishes or be in the bathroom with the lights on, things like that, that I still struggle with. It's like a give and take kind of situation. Yeah, I guess that's where all of my fear is that I don't want to fall back into those habits. Like, I don't want to get to the place where I'm just, like, leaving stuff on the floor because I don't care. I don't think that I deserve to have, like, a clean living space. I don't want to get to the point where I don't vacuum for, like, for a long time. I don't want to get to the point where it's hard for me to like change my cat's litter and things like that. I don't want things to be more difficult than they have to be again. My therapist thinks that I can handle it. It's just a matter of convincing myself that I can. And I have done like a ton of work. It's weird for me to remember that like a lot of the like feelings about myself that I had the last time I tried to do this, I just don't have anymore. Like, I used to just feel like the world was always out to get me. Like, that, that, like, I never deserved to be happy. That, like, things would always go to shit for me because there's something wrong with me and that I ruin everything. Those were, like, things that I completely believed and thought were absolutely true about myself. And I don't feel like that anymore. Like, there are times, like, you know, whenever that was, when my landlords said they were going to come in here and quote-unquote inspect my apartment, and were basically like, if things don't look nice, you might have to get rid of your cats, like, or at least threatened it. Like, yeah, I had a mental breakdown and cried a lot and was scared that and had those kind of thoughts, but it's a different feeling now. Like, I have those thoughts feeling like everything, I ruin everything, I don't deserve to have anything. And that situation is like, I don't deserve to have my cats, they would be better off living with somebody else, things like that. I think those things, but I, even when I'm thinking them, when I'm like crying and upset and emotional, I know that they're not true. I know when I'm thinking them, I know that I'm thinking this way because I'm really upset and triggered and emotional, and I know to not, like, I'm aware of that and know to not make, like, impulsive decisions. Like, the last time I felt like that, when that was going on with my landlord, I, like, wanted to just, like, delete my, I made an Instagram account for, like, my paintings and stuff, my more, like, creative hobbies. I wanted to just delete the entire thing and, like, and be done with it. And I was, like, I was starting to look up how to delete, or, like, whatever the word is for that, for your account on Instagram to make it disappear. And made myself stop because I was, like, I know I'm gonna, like, if I just delete it and I don't have access to any of the things that I post on there anymore, I'm gonna regret it. So instead, I made myself request, like, you can do a thing on those apps where you can, like, download all of your data. You can do that on, like, Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. So I requested my data, and, like, the day after I felt like that, they sent me an email of my data that had, like, it has, like, every video, like, every reel, every, like, story, every photo that I post on there, all of my art and stuff, saved. And so I saved that on my phone in, like, my Google Drive or whatever, and then, like, got rid of the account. So, like, I still have all of the pictures and videos and everything that I took in case I ever want to use that again, but I just got rid of the account because I, like, I haven't been posting on that in any way in, like, over 6 or 7 months. I just wanted to get rid of it. But, like, I wanted to get rid of it when I was upset in the most dramatic way, like, just deleting it and that's it. Like, in a way that was really mean to myself. But now I'm able to recognize, like, no, you'll probably regret this later. And I like, took steps to do it in a way that made more sense. And I'm also just aware that the things I used to feel about myself, even when I fall back into, like, those thought patterns, I'm aware that, like, I know this isn't actually true. I know that I'm upset about this right now, and I feel like it's true, but I know it's not actually true. And it just, even when I'm, like, really upset about stuff, and I feel like that, it just takes away some of, like, the, almost like the importance or the power of feeling that way. So, like, when I think about me going through, like, that whole process again with EMDR, I don't know, it's just, like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to handle it, but, like, I feel like my therapist is going to convince me next week that I can. And that's probably part of why I can. Because I know that the world doesn't hate me. I know that the world isn't being cruel or horrible to me on purpose. I even understand now that, like, my parents aren't evil people. That they, like, did the best they could, even though it was way worse than I should ever accept. But they still did. And that both sides of their family had decades upon decades of abuse and trauma that they could not break. Like, I understand them more. I see them as, like, as more people now than I did then. Like, I wasn't ready to see that, like, the complexities of them at that time, but I can now. And I understand now that, like, the world isn't out to get me. Like, these things have happened, but it's not because there's something, like, inherently wrong with me. And I even understand, like, why I don't have any friends right now, or why it was always such a struggle for me to find people who were good people throughout my life, because I was used to being treated like garbage. So why would I seek people out who would treat me nicely, who had, like, healthy boundaries. I thought it was okay to be, like, completely enmeshed with someone. I didn't realize that that was, like, overstepping. That was, like, normal to me. I feel like I'm, like, trying to talk myself into doing this. I know that I need to do it, but I'm trying to, like, convince myself that I can handle it, as horrible as it will be, because these are the things that I want to know. Like, I want to know where those triggers come from. I want to remember the people that I did, like, group therapy with, or even just the interactions I had with my therapist at that time. Like, that, I always thought of therapy as such, like, a positive thing for my, throughout my, like, adult life. Like, I used to always tell people to go to therapy. I always wanted to go back. I just didn't go back for another, like, 20 years. But I always had this super positive outlook on therapists and therapy and that whole thing. And that had to have come from when I did that when I was young. But I don't remember, like, anything from it. Like, the only thing of my, the one-on-one therapist that I saw, remember that it was a woman. But other than that, all I remember is our, like, first appointment, her asking me what I wanted to do when I was an adult. And I remember thinking I had no fucking clue what I wanted to do as an adult. But I just, like, said things that I thought sounded good. And it was her saying, like, you can still have this life if you want to. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And then I remember walking into the room when I was doing group therapy and seeing a kid my age sitting there and being, like, really, really anxious and nervous about joining this group with other people that I don't know. And then I remember, I just remember being in the therapist's office the last day the last time I was going there for my last appointment, and being really sad because I didn't want to stop going. And that is literally it. That's all I remember. And so I want to remember some of that stuff. Like, I had such a positive feeling about it. So whatever happened then, they must have, like, made me feel, like, understood. Even if it didn't last. Even if it only lasted for a couple months, it had to have been something really good for me to feel like that about it afterwards. And yeah, it's just, like, weird little questions like that. Like, all those memories I have with my parents where I remember something for a couple seconds and then the memory cuts off. I want to understand more of, like, what really happened to me. Like, it's one of those things with this whole, like, why therapists want to do EMDR. Not only to help control, like, your coping mechanisms and stuff, but also this, because, it just, the more that I remember when it comes to those sort of things, like, what happened to me and what the rest of those memories were, the more I understand how I act now. Because a lot of, like, the fears and things like that that I have because of what happened to me back then. But even though I don't remember them still right now in my mind when I think about it, the body keeps the score, in order to, like, quote the book title. But it's true. Like, the body remembers those things even when when I'm awake. Even though I, as a person, can't pull those memories out, my, like, body and mind still remember those things in a way. So, like me going into the bathroom being afraid of having the lights on. I don't know why that is, and, like, I don't know why I've always felt scared in. I've never felt comfortable, like, taking a shower, and things like that. Like, so I don't know exactly where those fears come from, but it still affects me enough to where I have to, like, adapt and change my behavior when I do those things in order to do them. So it's like, where did those fears come from? If I know where they came from, then I'll understand why I have them, and then I can work on, like, confronting them and moving past them. But if I don't remember those things and I don't know where those things come from, then I can't ever confront them and move past them, and I just stay stuck in the pattern that I'm in now. And I don't want to live like this forever. Like, I feel like I'm on, like, the edge of something, but I just can't quite, get to, like, the next set. Like, I don't want to feel, like, scared to leave my apartment every day for the rest of my life. Yeah, so that's my week. Being scared about what's going to happen in EMDR and having to confront that. I'm going to have to confront that. There's a full moon tonight, so if anyone acts weird, that's why. it's in Aquarius, which is my sun sign, so yay! What else am I trying to think of? I don't know what my mom's talking about with whatever the card thing she was discussing, but whatever that is, okay. I wish that she would just be able to send me, like, a lump sum for, like, the rest of the money that she owes me, so I could just be done with it, and I would never have to worry about, like, hearing from her ever again, but I know that's not likely. Because, I mean, she's never been good at handling her own money. She wouldn't have had to, like, take the money from me if she was good at that, so I'm gonna stop talking now.